Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Remo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. You?
Doing good. Just watching some football and some baseball, final day of the regular season.
Yeah, we're going to lead off with baseball for the first time. I mean, I should say, rather, for the last time until next year, most likely, unless there's some some big free agent news or, other than that, we're going to basically, have a hiatus with baseball for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're going to lead off with a little baseball, with a little history that happened down in Florida. Then we're going to shift gears, talk a little Mets as they induct one of the best players in their history. Into the Mets Hall of Fame. And then we're going to talk about the Yankee game as Yankees are putting on the final touches of a sweep down in Houston. And, of course, we're going to talk about, the debacle in Kansas City with the Giants and then the Jets in Tennessee. And, of course, as usual, we're going to talk sports entertainment news with a little WWE, a little TNA news, and of course, folks, you know the show. You know we talk sports entertainment and everything else. The number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to speak your mind. And if not, just sit back and enjoy the show. So let's first talk about some history. As Alvarez of the Florida Marlins, he throws his first career no-hitter, which is also the fifth no-hitter in Marlins history. And to make this no-hitter even more, you know, unique, this is the first no-hitter, I think, since 45, that the pitcher pitched 9 innings, and then he wins on a walk-off, a wild pitch. So, you know, congratulations to him. And, he threw 9 innings, and then he was a spectator as, you know, the Marlins rallied in the bottom of the ninth to get that no-hitter for Alvarez. So Congratulations to Alvarez and the Florida Marlins, and in a very horrible season the Marlins have been having. But, you know, they made history, and Alvarez becomes the third pitcher this year to throw a no-hitter after Tim Lincecum, who's an impending free agent. He threw one with his Giants earlier this year, and also Homer Bailey, he threw a no-hitter, the first guy to throw a no-hitter this year, and he also threw a no-hitter, I believe, his last outing of the season last year. So congratulations to Alvarez on his, you know, his historic accomplishment today.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Well, and what's your thoughts on that?
That's an amazing feat. That's amazing to hear, especially on the final day of the regular season for it to happen.
Exactly. I mean, the Marlins fans finally have something to cheer about, and
yeah,
you know, that's the top story in MLB right now. And with that, let's shift gears to the Mets. And of course, Mets, they fell 3-4 to the Brewers this last series at home. Mets was, for 3 straight years they've won more games on the road than they've did at home. And for the last 3 years they've been, you know, like, you know, basically a much better team on the road. And today, was Mike Piazza day. Mike Piazza became the 16th player in Mets history to be inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame today, and the 27th Met overall to be inducted into, you know, the Hall of Fame, the Mets Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. And, you know, me being a huge Mets fan, I became a Mets and a baseball fan in 99. So, you know, Piazza, you know, was the first superstar player, you know, in baseball that I, you know, that I was rooting for.
Right.
You know, when I became a baseball / Mets fan. So, you know, it's great to see him get his just reward as getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. The guy, you know, he carried the Mets, especially in 99 and 2000, you know, in their playoff runs. And, the guy really carried, you know, the city of New York on his back. But unfortunately, you know, he was never able to win, you know, a championship in New York. Kind of like one of my other childhood heroes in sports, Patrick Ewing. But it's good the fans, you know, still show the love and support, you know, that they've had for him, you know, ever since he donned the orange and blue. So it was a special day. And to put a little icing on the cake, the Mets, you know, got the 3-2 win. Nice pitched well, but he got a no decision. And Vic Black improves to 3-0. And basically, you know, Mets, you know, finally win this last game of the season. And they need a lot of changes hopefully these young guys like Harvey, you know, he doesn't need surgery. He'll be back, hopefully. You know, hopefully that's the case. Wheeler, you know, he pitched well, you know, his rookie season. And hopefully the young guys, you know, improve on, you know, what they, you know, what they did this year. And there's a lot of question marks coming into the season, especially with, you know, Ike Davis and Duda, you know, not performing, you know, at all this year, basically. So there's a lot of question marks at first base. And tomorrow at 12 o'clock, it's expected Terry Collins will get the two-year extension. So congratulations to him. And hopefully the Mets will, you know, keep going. We'll move forward instead of backward these last couple of years. And, you know, the farm system will ignite the Mets to better and brighter days at Citi Field.
Yeah, definitely. Look forward to 2014.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to that. Did you see any of the Hall of Fame induction, by the way?
I was watching the Giants game. I did see some of it. I saw Piazza. I saw his family sitting on the field, and I saw the message from Al Leiter on the big screen in the center field, and I saw Franco speaking, and then Piazza spoke, I think. So I did see some of it. I didn't see all of it, but I did see a portion.
Yeah, you saw that most of it. You basically saw his speech, and you know, some of, you know, his former players like Leiter and Edgar Alfonso, you know, and other, you know, other great Mets, you know, like Doc,
right?
Keith, Crane Pool, Mookie Wilson, you know, a bunch of you know, Met greats, you know.
Yeah.
On the field to honor him, along with Piazza's parents and his wife and his kids, minus his son, because he said his son was too young to take the trip. So, you know, it was a very memorable day at Shea. I mean, at Citi Field.
It was great. It was well-deserving for one of the greatest catchers in baseball history.
Absolutely. And hopefully next year, you know, Mets will retire number 31. Next year, and, you know, MLB will finally get it right and finally put, you know, Piazza, you know, in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, where he rightfully deserves.
Yeah.
So, that, I mean, that's a good thing, you know, the Mets season, you know, ended on a good note, you know, with that memorable tribute to Piazza and his career.
Yeah.
You know, he had many memorable games, you know, against Clemens and the Yankees. And of course, you know, that 9/11 game, the game he hit the two-run home run to give Mets the lead 10 days after 9/11, which was arguably his most memorable home run. But there was one game that really stood out to him, was in 06, the year after he left the Mets and he played with the Padres. And he was facing Pedro Martinez, who, you know, was briefly his teammate with the Mets in 05. And he had, you know, apparently had issues with him when they were in Dodgers with his brother Ramon, Pedro's brother Ramon. So there was, like, some spring trainings a couple of years before Pedro and Piazza were teammates, you know, in 05, that, you know, they had issues with each other. But the funny thing is that the rules was reversed in 06. Piazza was a Padre. Pedro was still with the Mets. And the first at bat, you know, Piazza was being cheered by the fans. First at bat, home run. And guess how the fans reacted?
They cheered.
They cheered.
Yep.
Second, and it was weird watching the game. I was like, you know, I didn't want him to hit a home run, but, you know, I was like, you know, hey, they're cheering, you know. And Mets was leading, so I think it was like six nothing at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So the score was 6-1. So I was like, you know what, I won't let it bother me, you know. And I give him respect. Second at bat, guess what happened?
Home run?
they cheered, and yet again he homered again. And I'm like, wow, this is starting to get crazy here. You know, he had two home runs, and you know the fans were be cheering him. Third at bat, guess what happened?
Ground ball.
Guess what the fans' reaction was?
They booed him.
You darn right they did. They booed him. I mean, that was like. I was like, man, no, yo, we gotta get this guy out. I remember watching the game with my father, and I was like, man, we gotta get this guy out, you know. And he flew out. So he almost hit three home runs.
Wow.
Against the Mets.
Wow.
And you know, he said that today that game really stood out to him because right there, he really saw the love that the fans had for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was a lovable, a memorable player here in New York City.
Yeah, absolutely. And, congratulations to the, greatest offensive catcher in history, baseball history.
Yeah.
But let's move from one great, in New York to another. And, of course, Mariano, he his career ended on Thursday. As the Yankee fans, gave him, showed him the love and support they've had with him throughout his career, since '95, and it was a very touching moment to see, Jeter and Pettit, basically pick him off the mound. But I'll let you talk more about that since you have more of a emotional bond with that scene.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Thursday when against the final game this season in Yankee Stadium against the Tampa Bay Rays, and of course it was the final game for Mariano at Yankee Stadium, and he was called into the eighth to pitch with one or two outs. I think it was one out left in eight, and he came in.
Yeah,
and he stayed until the ninth inning, and then Girardi decided to pull him out with. One out left in the ninth, or two outs left in the ninth, and Jeter and Pettit, both of them came out to the mound, and they hugged them, and it was emotional to see. Mariano started crying, and they all hugged each other. So both players, Pettit and Jeter, they came up with Mariano during that Yankee dynasty period in the late '90s. So. To see them all hug on the mound like that, man, it was great to see, and it was emotional for Mariano. Fans were cheering, gave him a standing ovation, and he tipped his cap. And it's the last time pitching at Yankee Stadium. You won't ever see him pitch again, and no one's gonna ever wear that number 42 anymore. And today was his last game of the season, and there were rumors that he was gonna be. In center field because he wanted to, play one inning in center field, but he decided against it. So, but
I think that was a great move by him, not to do it. I mean, as nice as it would have been to see him in center field to see how it is, the novelty of it, but it makes the whole Thursday send off seem more magical. That his career ended in the Bronx where it began,
Right. So I
give kudos to him. And another thing, I give him kudos for is that today he apologized to the Astro fans, because, he didn't for not perform, playing, he knows, as being, a baseball player, he understands, the fans in Houston, when you go to a game and you play against some teams like the Yankees and stuff like that, you want to face the best players. But it was good for him that he retired where it mattered, basically.
Yeah, and if this game today could have gone any longer, he might have pitched today. Yankees just beat the Astros to complete the sweep. This weekend, and yesterday, Andy Pettit pitched a complete game. Yankees won, I think, 2-1, and it was his final game also yesterday. And
yep.
What better way to end his career than do it in his hometown of Texas, you know? So.
Absolutely. And he was saying himself that he didn't know if he could, you know, he was talking to the reporters, you know, recently that he didn't know if he could go 9 innings, but in his last career starts, you know, he went the distance. You know, he
yep.
willed himself, you know, to get that complete game win, you
yep.
know, 2-1
yeah.
win. And, you know, yeah. the Yankees, as you know, swept the Astros and, you know, the Yankees win in the 14th inning.
Yeah, we won 5-1. Mark Reynolds hit a big home run in the top of the 14, and Eduardo Nunez hit a two-run double to break it open, and Yankees win this game 5-1 and ended up sweeping the Astros. And
that's a 15-game losing streak for
yeah.
the Astros.
Well, the Astros are not a good team, so
yeah.
they have a lot of things to work out in the offseason.
MLB need to switch them back to the NL, you know, to the NL West, because, I mean, that team was always a National League team.
Yeah.
They should have put the Brewers, since Brewers was, you know, used to be American League team, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah. But, you know, Yankees finished the season, they finished the 85-77, despite, you know, all the injuries and the players retiring, you know, they do finish the with a winning record, but
mm-hmm.
fortunately, it wasn't. It's not enough to make the playoffs, so they'll have to pack up their bags and head home.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, a nice end to, you know, to two players who had magical careers. But unfortunately for the Yankees, they aren't able to leapfrog all those other teams that were ahead of them. So this is their first season since 08 that they didn't make the playoffs. So Yankees, just like the Mets, are going to try to regroup and try to improve on the team. And number one goal for them would be to re-sign Cano, who's going to be a free agent. So,
yeah,
definitely got to look forward to seeing. Should be a real interesting free agency period for both New York teams.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Oh yeah, and let's shift gears with the Giants. You know, Giants got their butt kicked in Kansas City, 31-7. And I'll let you talk a little bit about that.
Well, Giants today, they play good defense, you know, for the first three quarters. And, I mean, turnovers keep killing these guys. I mean, Eli threw an interception. I guess there's some miscommunication with the wide receivers. It was a fumble. I think they had, like, three turnovers today. And they continue to turn the ball over. And, you know, Kansas City capitalized on that. And Kansas City, they have Jamaal Charles, who's a great running back. And he pretty much destroyed the Giants, whether it was a kickoff return or a rushing touchdown. I mean, he did it all today. And, yeah, the Giants ended up losing this game today 31-7. And, you know, Kansas City is a good team. You know, they have Andy Reid. And they play some great defense, and they have Alex Smith, who's a good quarterback. And right now, they're a pretty good team, and the Giants just couldn't match their. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't keep up with them today, you know. So
right.
They're 0-4 right now, and it's not looking good. You know, 0-4 to start the first quarter of the season. It's not good. I don't know if they can recover from this.
And you're absolutely right. It's they're you know now 0-4, and you know the season ain't looking pretty for the Giants. They
yeah.
gotta really regroup here and go back to the drawing board and try to scratch out a win.
Yeah, and my mistake. It was McCluster who had the punt return touchdown, not Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles, I think, had a rushing touchdown today.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's really, you know, really messed up for the Giants right now, you know. Team with a lot of potential, but they gotta, you know, bounce back for sure.
Yeah, they need some kind of break. I mean, they really need a bye.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But that bye's not going to come up yet, so they got to play through this, man. It's not looking good right now.
Exactly. And another team, shifting gears to the other team in the Meadowlands right now, in Tennessee, the Jets, they're losing 24-6. So, you know, it's not looking good for neither one of the teams in New York right now, the football teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully Jets can come back, but, you know, time is running out, man. They don't look too good right now either.
Yeah.
But let's shift gears to a little WWE, a little TNA news. WWE, can't remember what happened. Oh, yeah, there was a 11-3 handicap match. You know, basically the Raw roster versus the Shield. And for the first time, Shield got like you know, I mean, sure, Shield defeated like seven people. But like the first time Roman Reigns got pinned, I forgot who pinned them.
Was it Ziggler?
It might have been Ziggler, I think.
Yeah, I think it might have been Ziggler.
And Dean Ambrose got defeated too. I don't remember how he got defeated.
Yeah.
And that left Daniel Bryan in the ring with Seth Rollins. And once you knew that, once you knew the weakest link of the Shield was in the ring with basically Daniel Bryan, I think the Usos were still there, and somebody else might have been in the ring. Maybe Ziggler might have still been there, too. And, you know, basically Daniel Bryan beat him with that running knee strike that he, you know, he defeated Cena and Orton to win the WWE title, you know, in consecutive pay-per-view events. Basically, you know, Daniel Bryan stood tall. And you know what was funny about last week, about the week that just passed?
What?
Was that was when Stephanie in Miz TV basically told Big Show to knock out Miz, and Big Show just turned around and punched him. Big Show was even crying like how he's been for the last couple of weeks. He's like, oh, knock out. And it's like in his mind, he's like, oh, knock out Big Show? I mean, knock out Miz? Ah, that's nothing. Miz is annoying. Oh, well. there was no hesitation. I was like, is he turning heel or something? I'm like, that was funny how he just knocked them out.
Yeah, he's doing anything that the McMahons are telling him these days.
Because it was funny. It was like, when it was Daniel Bryan or Dusty Rhodes, it was like, no, I don't want you to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt them. But with Miz, like, ah, okay. he just turned them around and knocked them out. Like it was nothing. I mean, that's the Big Show we need to see more. And that's why Big Show as a good guy never works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it's a joke, but I'd just be repeating myself for the past couple of months what I would be saying anyway. So, just turn Big Show heel into an official heel.
He's a McMahon's henchman right now. You know,
exactly.
He does whatever they tell him to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And tomorrow, most likely, they're going to set up a tag team elimination match between the Rhodes family, Dusty, Goldust, and Cody to fight against the three members of the Shield.
Yeah.
So
the Rhodes.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, the Rhodes family, they caused havoc on Raw.
Yeah, Goldust and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I wish with the pay-per-view being called Battlegrounds, I wish the War Games would finally debut in WWE.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
But as of right now, it doesn't look like that's gonna happen. But because it would be great if they did that.
Yeah, but, you know, people see it as more of a WCW, so it's probably not going to have it.
Yeah, but the World Heavyweight title is the WCW title.
True.
All these guys most of these guys are WCW guys. I mean, the veteran guys. You know, Dusty, Goldust, which was Dustin Rhodes in WCW, Booker T, you know, a bunch of guys during the, you know, the Alliance, the ECW, WCW alliance came, obviously, from WCW and ECW.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
So, I mean, a lot of stuff came from the Elimination Chamber. I think didn't it come from WCW also? I could be wrong about that one.
That I'm not sure.
I could be wrong about that one, but a lot of stuff, you know, they have the rights to WCW stuff, so I mean, they could use it.
Yeah, you
obviously
know
it's not going to be added to Era, like, you know, but it'd be an interesting match for them to have.
Yeah, War Games. Didn't War Games, they had like two or three different rings?
I think so. Yeah.
Where wrestlers would be, wasn't it like a battle royal, I think?
There was like, I think, two or three rings and, you know, people, you know, battle inside the rings and stuff like that. I think they could fight on top of the cell too, like Hell in the Cell, if I'm not mistaken. But
okay,
it was like a, I'm not really familiar with it that much, but I mean, I've seen a few matches of it. Look, you know, it looked like a real interesting match that they should, you know, debut in WWE.
Yeah.
And speaking of former WCW guys in TNA, this coming up TNA, a former WWE legend, you know, who's fought and had many memorable WrestleMania matches, he's going to make a decision whether or not if he's going to leave TNA or not. Of course, you know, we're going to find out what he's going to do, but I bet you know who I'm talking about. So if you...
Hogan?
Maybe. So if you want to find out his decision, I guess you... Going into TNA later this week.
Yeah.
But with that, you have anything else you'd like to say?
Baseball, wild card weekend. Gotta keep watch that because tomorrow might be some interesting games.
Yeah, they have some interesting games. You know, might check it out a little bit, but you know, once my team gets eliminated, I'm kind of a sore loser. So I'm not going to be watching the whole thing.
Hey.
You know,